Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Fast. And thank you so much for joining me today for Faith the Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the call, destiny, and purpose of God. In this 15-minute empowerment, you're going to be encouraged in your walk of faith, encouraged in the process of there, encouraged in how God is going to use you, how God is going to empower you, and how the life you live will impact someone else's life. As we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are changed line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth, and we see the manifestation of God's word becoming alive in us, because as we learn of God, as we learn and get the knowledge and the understanding of his word, as we're taught in Bible study and on church on Sundays and empowerments like this, as we study the word, we take the application of that word and we apply it to our life, and fruit happens. We grow, we mature, we develop, and we develop fruit so someone else can live thereby. We've been studying the book of Proverbs, going back to that book again. The book of Proverbs is inspirational because it is a book that teaches us how to be skilled and how to act in every situation. And in every situation in our life, we have not known how to act, how to conduct ourselves, how to solve problems, how to address issues, how to relate to trouble, even how to relate to difficult people or to each other. So this book has been given by God to Solomon so that we would know how to be skillful and how to act in every situation and walk in wisdom. We've been talking this week about marriage, and we've been dealing with a little bit about how we're supposed to approach marriage, and marriage is supposed to be approached in a mature state. And when you read about marriage in the Bible, it's talking to those who are believers who understand the responsibility of marriage, that they're not going into it lightly, that they're not going into it without understanding how God looks at marriage, how God looks at union, because it's his idea, how it reflects what he is going to do and has already spoken about concerning the marriage supper that we're going to have with him and everything that he has basically done. Family of God represents him, so he wants the family in the earth to also represent him. That doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean that everything's always going to work and be perfect, but it means that we're going to use godly principles to walk in love and to walk in unity and to solve problems together and to raise godly children. So that's one of the things that we really have to understand. Even if you are a leader, you have to have this type of love in you for the people of God. You've got to have a love that says, I'm willing to help you walk through something difficult and show you with my own life how God can use my relationship, my marriage relationship, or my family relationship, or even my overcoming testimony about things that I've gone through to help better you, to help push you, to help shape you, give you knowledge and strength. So leaders also show an example to people in their congregation or outside their congregation how God can use or give you an example to look by. And that's not saying that they're perfect, because they go through the same thing, they face the same things, but they strive even the more to try to be like what God says, and we want to be that. We want to become that. When we look at 1 Corinthians 13, it says this, and I love this because this is a scripture that I use when I counsel married couples and also in weddings. I let them understand this, and I break this down. But 1 Corinthians 13, the very fourth verse of that says, love is patient. Love is very patient and kind. I'm reading this out of the Living Translation. Love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or prideful, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and would hardly ever notice when others do it wrong. It's never glad about injustice or rejoices when truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. Now, this is what they're saying here in regards to love and how love is supposed to be shown and shared in this aspect. And so it's powerful because when you start looking at the word love, you're not looking at love as you know it. You're looking at the love that we receive from God that we now pull on, that we now embrace, that we now give. So we don't do it in our own strength nor in our own power. We do it in the power and the strength of the Lord. And when we do it, we see love and how we share and give love from a different perspective. It's no longer an I mentality or what I want. It's saying, because I love you, I put you first. Because I love you, I want your needs to be handled first. And if both people in the marriage, the man and the woman in that marriage, are doing this, then you're going to have a effort of unity that always pulls on the strength of God and the wisdom of God and the compassion and the mercy of God, the grace of God, that says, God, I walk in what you showed me, and now I walk in the spirit so that I can fulfill what you showed me, because I can't do it in my flesh. I can only do this in the spirit. So this allows us to understand that love is so powerful because we're not pulling on natural love. We're pulling on love that came from heaven into the earth and paid the price for us. Love saw us. Love wanted us. Love desired us. And love paid the price for our sin, what we were indebted to. Love paid the price for that. Love is sitting now on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Love is coming back. So that power that we're pulling on is the power from Jesus Christ and the love that he and the Father have for us. So we can do it because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and he's given us the empowerment and the power and the life and the spirit and the ability to show love and to do it. Because when you start seeing your spouse as not just your spouse, but seeing them as someone that is connected to God, that's in the body of Christ, how you treat them and what you say to them and how you handle them goes back to the word of God that lets us understand, I don't handle my brother or my sister any kind of way because I can get in trouble with God. And if you have that understanding about how you handle one another and how you love one another, then you are able to make wiser decisions, and the things that says come out of your mouth and the treatment that you give one another and the obedience and the forgiveness that you have, because you want God to be pleased, because we are stewards over everything that God has entrusted us with. We're stewards over the earth. We're stewards over our money. We're stewards over relationship. We're stewards over being a parent, being in a marriage, how we conduct ministry, how we act on the job, what we do on the job. Everything we do, God is entrusting us to show him. So he's going to come and look at what he gave us, like the parable that Jesus talks about, the talents. He's going to come and look at us and see what he gave us and see how or what we did with that. What did we do with what he gave us? How did we invest it? And I know that scripture talks about it in the reference to money, but I'm talking about the investment of the talents and the gifts and the abilities that God has given us and that he's trusted us with. He's going to come back and see, what did you do with my investment in you, what I trusted you with? Did you hide it in the ground so no one could see it, so no one can be a partaker of it, that it couldn't gain interest, that it couldn't grow, that it couldn't develop and become more, that someone else's life couldn't be touched by it? Or did you make it so that it could be, if it was the one thing that you could do, if it was just loving your wife and your family, and that was the ability, the anointing God gave you to be patient and love and to groom them and to speak the word over them and show them an example of a kingdom man with kingdom responsibilities and a kingdom heart unto God. If that was the thing that you could do, then God is going to bless you because that's going to be multiplied. But whatever it is that God has entrusted you with, please know that he's looking at how well you handle it. He's looking at how well you are a provider and providing for your family, because God provides for us. Looking at how well you love your spouse, love your wife, because God loves us and takes care of us. How you love and raise up your children, God raises us up. He's looking at how well you're going to take the example of what he's given through the Old Testament and New Testament and now do what he says you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit and his word and his life and his truth to do. So we are accountable to God how we treat one another and what we do, what he's entrusted us with. So we want to make sure we do it unto the glory of God. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. That doesn't mean there's not going to be situations. Doesn't mean that there's going to be things about each other that you've got to work on. But it means we come into agreement and we say we're going to do this for the glory of God, and we're going to get in the Word of God and find out what his perfect will is, and this is what we're going to walk out every single day by truth. And if we stumble and fail, let grace abide. Let grace cover us. Let's come back together. Let's repent, forgive each other, pray, and start walking and working on the places that we need to. We cannot handle each other like the world handles us. We cannot see our marriages as the world sees marriage. We can't see our family as the world sees our family. Our family, our marriage, our relationship, our commitment, our ministry, whatever we do has to look and exemplify the God of heaven that lives greatly inside of us. That's one of the things I wanted to point out and say today. And I know I spent a lot of time on that, but marriage is something that marriage and family is something that the Lord has really shown me has been attacked tremendously. And we need to not allow the enemy or flesh or even the culture to dictate to us how we live our lives according to the word of faith. If you are a Christian believer, if you walk by faith, if you live for Jesus Christ, your life now is the principles of the word. You live through by faith in him, through the principles of the word of God and in his spirit, empowered to do what he says, because we could never do it outside of him, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Okay, and I said yesterday that if you're trying to change your spouse, that's not going to happen. That has to be a choice. They have to willingly want to, and the responsibility, and I wish I really had time to go into how the Lord sees marriage and the responsibility of the man and the woman, but I really don't have that time to go into it. This is just empowerment nuggets so that you can know that God wants you to win in your marriage, that God wants you to win as a husband and a wife, that you have an anointing from him to be a husband, to be a wife, to be a father, to be a mother. You have an anointing from him to be a provider, because he is a provider. He provides for us. You have an anointing from him to do everything that he's called you to do. You just got to get in line and say, God, show me how to release these kingdom principles under this kingdom anointing so that I can do every kingdom thing that you told me to do, and do it knowing that you are the God that's watching my life, and there's going to be fruit that's going to come that's going to be a blessing. You have to be friends. You've got to talk. You got to communicate. You got to trust. And if there's been a lot of damage in your marriage, I pray that you find godly counsel. If you can't find it in your ministry, there are Christian counselors who will walk you through and help you get to the place of healing and wholeness. But it's going to begin when you forgive, when you let go, when you look at the mirror and say, God, I'm looking at myself and not my spouse. I'm telling you to look at me and tell me what I need to do, where I've fallen short. Show me these things so that I can be the better spouse that you've called me to be, the better parent that you've called me to be, the better worker, the better person in church if I'm in leadership, so that someone else's life can be touched. When you start doing that, you're going to see God start moving on your behalf. It's not hopeless if God is in it. God can always move miraculously. I'm Pastor Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me today for Faith the Life, the Process is There. Pray that you've been blessed, and this is empowering you and helping you and strengthening you and even giving you wisdom and direction. If you're married or unmarried, it's going to give you something so that you can know how to govern your steps, govern your thoughts, govern your heart and your life, your conduct, so it looks like God. And that's my prayer, that every empowerment that I give helps you move in the direction of purpose, doing the will of God, growing in the grace and the knowledge of him. Have a blessed and wonderful day.